So explorers who had been here on the Hertzsprung plane, exploring space, once upon a time, listen straight away. They look just like you did 455,000 years ago. And they advanced the civilization while you were still in ultraviolet blue. How many of you now understand that? They were here first. They were making known the unknown. My God, it never ends. It's good news. And so, when you came, they did the most merciful thing for you. They took you from being an ape. It's all true about the history of your origins. You really did look like that. You looked like that. They took you from that and said, too much hair. It's not cold down here. The earth is covered in a cloud cover. It looks like we're in a womb. You know, and all cloud contains water. And so the light from the sun is diffused in water. So wherever the sun was, every part of the world, or Terra, was getting light everywhere. There was no such thing as temperate temperatures. There was no such thing as cold and hot. It was a hothouse effect. We always do that with planets. We always cover them with clouds. And we create, like the womb. The womb isn't an original idea. It comes from the planets. Turn your neighbor and tell them that. The water in the womb. It's the clouds up above the planet. And so, every planet that's in construction is in a cloud cover. Venus is in a cloud cover. Once upon a time, Mars was in a cloud cover. Venus, those guys, they don't know. They're not telling you the truth. Venus is a womb. There's a whole brilliant civilization occurring in Venus. It's the truth. Well, I'll send you there. Now, so what they did is they were creators. So they looked at this hairy, stinky person and they said, oh, this will never do. I'll never do. And so they recreated you. They re-engineered you. They, the gods of 455,000 years ago, had the technology without religion. And what happened is they had no religion that says that you couldn't do that with DNA. I mean, the whole health, well, this is a side note, of course, but the whole health of the world is absolutely solved in stem cells. And yet religion doesn't want you to find that anywhere. They want people or women down here to not produce and men to wear condoms. I mean, the Catholic Church is on the sign of hardiness, producing too many people for a land that can't cope with it. And yet, in those days, unlike today, where religion and moral ethics, what is moral ethic? I mean, you only have moral ethics if you think this is the only life and there's some God up there judging you and you're going to go to hell and burn for everything that you do. That only happens here. 455,000 years ago, there was no religion. There was science and making known the unknown. Ultimate mind to possess. The ultimate mind to possess. And they decided upon you, this will never do. This stinky little creature swinging from trees will never do. So they made you beautiful. They made the Adam of Eden. And they made Eve of Eden beautiful. But the first Adam and Eve looked like old and lousy compared to the last Adam and Eve that they married, which was fabulous, breathtaking, and oh my God, can we see her in a swimsuit? So, then there are these beautiful bodies that you came into. You know, you did. You all have a time that you were there. And here you were in Eden with the gods who made you. And there you are serving and learning and helping and doing. It never dawns on you to ask, why am I doing this? Because anybody that asks why never stayed here. They went with the gods to elsewhere. Because any intelligent question that was said, why am I doing this? They would go, oh, the large why word has been asked. This person has to immediately go to counseling. The person went to counseling, and the God that was in counseling would say, in psychology, why did you ask why? And the person would say, well, I see you leave and go up to the sky, beyond the sky, and come back, and I want to go there. Why can't I go there? And they would go, oh. Well, we have an advanced entity on it. And instead of banishing them and suppressing them, what do you think they did with them? What do you think they did with them? They put them in school. You're next. They put them in school. And in the meantime, the gods looked at other gods, and they just knew. These people lack 455,000, or whatever, with the time that I'm talking to you now. They lack knowledge. They have so much to make known. They have roses to color, perfumes to create. Indeed, they have land masses to adjust. They have species to get involved with. There is gardeners yet to be born that we cannot do. The gardeners are in the future. They are all of you. They're going to plant the forests and plant the meadows. They're going to go to the Galapagos Islands and, well, it wasn't an island. It was part of a landmass. And they're going to mess with DNA. The future of the world depends upon the inhabitants who landed here. That's what they said. And you know, they're absolutely right. They're absolutely right. So they couldn't take them with them. Because their kingdom was the world. And all of the magnificent dreams they would have after that, and the crops, and the way they would take a simple seed from the gods and multiply it, find its secrets, and in essence, glorify the earth. That was their job. Indeed, that was your job. Now, if we look back over the story, we can go, uh-huh, yeah, indeed, uh-huh. I can see that. If we are in the audience of advanced civilization, they couldn't take us with us because we are here to make known the unknown. We are here to be the gardeners. We are here to be the scientists. We are here to be inventors. We are here to have children. We are here to create laws. And that laws only mimic, according to Cicero, the one law of God. Make known the unknown. We have to create them here. So, the gods knew that when you tumbled down here and were born here, this was your home planet. How many of you understand? Now, more than that, all of you who are sitting here, now remember, you are remembering, are you? Please, Ramtha, we are remembering. Remember that this is where you ended up. The whole story of your evolution takes place here. And so once upon a time, you were in the presence of a truly advanced civilization. And they were probably responsible for your blonde hair and blue eyes, or for your absolutely beautiful culture of your dark hair, dark skin, and dark eyes. They're responsible for all of it. They, you can celebrate, took you from being an ape and made you this and left you here. And that abandonment is not an act without love, but an act of respect. You've got to grow up. So you were then, all of you. I've looked at all of you. You were alive then. This is now your incarnation. And now we're going to talk about your origins once again and say, now you have options. Turn to your neighbor and tell them that. So in those days, then, you were given a gift of love which quantum leaped you forward into physical embodiment of beauty. I look at everyone here. You have your image of beauty. I did not find one entity that was not beautiful to my countenance. Beautiful. Not one. And so, then they could not teach you everything because you had your own future. So they gave you this marvelous gift while they and of themselves were busy making known the unknown and at their life. And so those were the days of the gods. Now, where you end up today is that once they were lifting off, they established command posts, as you would call them. And there were certain human beings who were able to be a part of those. And for a while when they finally left, they left part of their own people here to establish those command posts. I mean, there's evidence of them all around the world. And all you have to do is go to Lebanon and check out those stones and go, what kind of a massive craft set upon these stones that they didn't finish in those last days? Well, that was the gods of Eden. Now, the gods became like the god of a household, the god of a laboratory, the god of a township. And this was the god that was in charge of this entire town. Not one person was ever maligned or mistreated by these beings. Not one. These beings were so advanced. It would be like an advanced, intelligent being mistreating an animal. It would never have done that. But moreover, a god just here, he would never have crossed that line. Because the moment you mistreat another god, you will be brought down. No one in that sophisticated group understood. No one misunderstood the law. No one was going to abuse the children of the earth. They just didn't do that. I don't care what anyone tells you. They didn't do that. Now, learning to cope, they taught everyone here laws that would have taken centuries to have learned. They taught respect, mutual respect, in a place they'd never been before. They provided the science of archaeology, of building, of planetology, of husbandry. They taught them everything so that when they left, everybody who was here would have made a huge quantum leap and indeed survival. That's the way it was. So, if you were from Mexico, if you were from Greenland, if you were from Austria or Siberia, you were from Venezuela, you were from Antarctica, you were from China, everyone remembers the myth of a specific deity that they can remember back who was once there. Because these gods were on every landmass. So, When they left, they set up communications to make sure everything would continue. They had finished their mining operations. They were gone, and they would be back. It took two cycles of 50,000 years before they packed up everything on their base on Mars and the Moon and absolutely left. They had everything they needed, but in a way, they were still looking after the gods on terra firma. And in those days, there were two moons, not one. Now, what's beautiful is that the myth of God comes from them in your soul. The gods, plural, comes from your experience with them. That is absolutely a truth. The marvelous, magical, extraordinary beings comes from them. So, every culture has it. Every culture remembers the gods who came down. So now, along that same timeline were other groups of beings from totally different planetoids and galaxies. The Atlanteans, they're called Atlanteans because they were the red people who have inherited that color today in the Indians, in the Americas. They were called the Atlanteans. But they really were red in color, like someone who had had a sunburn, but they just wore it every day. They were from a whole different quadrant, not even close to the star cluster the Lemurians came from. They were here and long had been here. The Lemurians worshipped a god called, and they were gods, called the Unknown God. That meant that it wasn't a person as it was the reason for persons. So the unknown God didn't have a face. It was the face of all life and all quintessential intelligence to which creation sprang from. Creation sprung from this. We are the gods, sprung from us. How far we went way out here in the void and in between created time, distance, and space, we're the creators. And so they believed in the unknown God, and they were truly an advanced race in their mind. The Atlanteans had bases on the moon, were always arguing and squabbling with a place called Atlantis, the fabled continent of beauty. This was a group smaller than the Lemurians, but they were technologically advanced. They believed in the gods of technology, and three of them. They believed in three faces of these gods. When they focused on all of them, they got new technology. If you create your card, you get the reality. That was their god. They were smaller, they were red, and these are the beings that occupied Atlantis, that fabled continent. And in between were the Ionians, the beautiful race that was ivory skin, watery eyes, and white hair. And they belonged to the far north. They were the evolution, the Ionians of the gods of 455,000 years ago. They were the advancing culture that made their way from ancient Greece all the way up to Greenland. They were startling. They were tall and lean, had white or sunny hair, pale skin, and eyes that looked like water. They were the evolution of the gods of 455,000 years ago. And then we had the remarkable race that was part 455,000 years and part another planet. And do tell me if I am boring you, for I would never lecture to an audience that couldn't keep up to me. How many of you are learning? So be that. The fabulous Egyptians. Egypt, the great crescent valley, the greatest civilization. These were hybrids. They were the gods of 455,000 years old, children who turned remarkable, plus an off planet, made to this day physically the most beautiful creatures that have ever been created here. And they were ebony skin, polished like mahogany, tall, 12 feet tall, red hair, green eyes like reeds. Extraordinary, long, beautiful limbs. They were known for fighting crocodiles in the Nile. Fabulous. They were the original Egyptians. And their great leader, Akhmen-Ra, is the great leader who started the pyramids and helped build it as a machine. Pyramid as a machine for focusing thought into reality, aimed at the dog star. So turn to your neighbor and tell them what you didn't know that you're learning now. You may begin. And this is what led up to, 35,000 years ago, my descent from the blue realm. The blue realm is beyond human explanation. I can tell you, it's so beautiful. We have no adjectives in any tongue to explain it. And that when we leave it, we are like the quintessential student searching for his master. We arrive at the tenet of our life there at a waterfall. And the waterfall is a curtain of ultraviolet blue that dances in front of us with lights which we have no explanation of the color that dazzles us. And we stand on its precipice like death. We know that we're about to leave a beloved and enchanted realm of the glorious blue body. And where we are at once androgynous, and that creation is spawned from this rather than the copulation of this with this that leads to this. We already were looking at God. We have created marvelous vineyard of all life. And when we had done our work, boredom is a sign of the soul we have accomplished. But boredom to a personality is that we are bored with what we hear, for we have not the facility to make it so. It's different with the indoctrination of human beings. But its ancient symbol was that it led us to this curtain that was this waterfall, and that we knew that once we walked into it, we would not return again for a long reckoning. And so I walked to the waterfall, and I had done wonderful work in the realm that is blue, and I walked through and went through the Big Bang as myself, split apart to positive and negative, and finding my balance in the positive charge of a man. And I was born 35,000 years ago in Lemuria. And my father was an Atlantean, my mother a 12-foot-tall diplomat, and gave birth to me. And the lodgings that I remember, it's an extraordinary building in which the only art were the stars, the map of the stars, and from which my ancestry genetically had come forth. And although I was brand new, I was born in a genetic that was ancient. So the genes immediately offered up to me, celebration of knowledge, quickly embraced and pre-programmed in my brain and my body, just as it has done to you. And in that birth, and of those times, was born I, Rabtha, Entity, Lemurian, Father, Atlantean. So, I was a strange cacophony of two planets diametrically opposed to each other. And in my time, there was a great war and conflict, and the earth was still in a cloud cover between a group of politicians on Atlantis and their group on the moon. And they made war with one another as politicians do today. And when they fired a light, which is called a laser, they broke the stratum. The stratum is the cloud cover. And when heat raced through clouds that are nothing more than the buoyancy of moisture, and you add a hot laser to it, you are going to have rainfall from condensation. Do tell me if I am boring your small mind.
No.
And so, in these days, the planet of Lemuria had been overrun by the largest of beasts, and it sank in a great cataclysm from the axe of those on Atlantis. The continent sank. Sea level in those days were equal to land mass containing a lake. So there was land everywhere, and there were large bodies of water, but they were not oceans. They were inlet seas. And yet, when they did that, they pierced the womb, and it began to rain. And for the first time, the earth was exposed to the sun in different places, and in moments, the northern regions froze to permafrost. The beasts of the region froze so quickly they had not digested the foodstuffs in their mouth. And it began to rain. And the melting of that which is termed the great cloud cover continued. And by this time, the planet of Lemuria, the continent of Lemuria, sank and filled with water. And its ancient beings sank with it. And all of us fled like pilgrims. And we went down the coast of the Californias, all the way down to an island you call Baja, all the way down to 120 miles north of the equator. And we crossed a swampland in Mexico today. It was swamp. And huge was the crossing in those times. And terrible was the sun as it appeared upon the land. And terrible were the floods that occurred all over the world. And we made our way, my mother and I, the eldest, a suckling daughter at her breast, and my younger brother, and we Lemurians, giants and ancient, made our way through Mexico to an ancient port on Atlantis called Onai. When we were accepted into Onai as pilgrims, but we were considered less than the dogs in the street because we did not worship technology. We were the entities of the mind. And they worship, like today, spiritual person doesn't need a cell phone. Your daughter, my channel, has no cell phone. None. Doesn't need one. In those days, that would have been equal to a Lemurian approaching an Atlantean who's on a cell phone constantly. And so they considered the Lemurians giant buffoons. And they took them in and mistreated them like dogs in the street and considered us soulless. And those were the days I knew. And in Onai, my mother starved to death, and the baby at her breast starved to death, and my little brother was taken by a satrap. So long, entity, we'll meet again. By a satrap, and that satrap did abuse my little brother. And there I burned my mother, my little sister, a funeral pyre, and left alone at the age of 13. And when I turned 14, I waged war on the unknown God. Not their God, but my God. And the unknown God of my God who my whole generation had adored, had not saved us and saved those that I loved. And so I went to the greatest mountain peak that was closest to the cloud cover, that I knew that there were beings that were flying above here. And I walked as a 14-year-old boy, climbed this mountain, and I was going to do war with the unknown God, for I hated him so, that had destroyed such a beautiful people. The heinous acts of these ludicrous entities. I climbed this mountain and saw the first time the great white silence, snow falling. And there I cursed the unknown God, and behold, unto me a giant woman appeared with a sword, and she gave it to me, and she said, "Conquer yourself." I came down from the mountain and laid siege to Onai, and the rest is history. And so, at 14, I conquered a city that never knew what war was, never knew what a warrior looked like, never understood intentions. And I conquered the city. And at 14, every enslaved pilgrim followed me, and I did not want them to come. So hurtful was my sorrow. So huge was my hate. I didn't care. I was going to kill everyone the unknown God favored. Yeah? I did a great job of that. And so I laid siege to Onai. I had no idea how to fight a warrior. And nobody ever trained him to do that. It was easy. And I found a satrap who took my brother and I slaughtered him like a pig. And every farmer and every peasant followed me to an outcropping of rocks. And they wanted to come where I went. I am a child. And they followed me. And of those days that I knew when I was 14, I conquered 2/3 of the known world in my day while the earth was being torn apart by the sun's first view. Earth changes, the earth falling apart from below our feet as we marched from that place all the way to the Mediterranean, up to Europe, up into Siberia, over into India. Yeah. And dropping down to it. 65 years. And of those days, I saw the sun for the first time. And the moons for the first time. There were two in my day. And my army was 2 million strong. And I rode a big black horse whose name was Shemiradin, ride with the wind. And it was easy to conquer such people who came from spaceships and didn't know how to wield a sword or a spear. And I had my revenge until I was run through and I put my sword aside. And I was run through. And of that day, I survived that mortal wound and sat on a rock for 7 years and kept my encampment for 7 years in the same place. While my warriors got fat and exaggerated off of not going to battle, but telling stories that were beyond the pale. And I was fighting for life. And I sat on that rock for 7 years. I watched the moons wax and wane, watched the seasons come and go, could tell you everything about migrating birds, and my dearest friend was a night bird who lived in a poor, wretched little bush coming out of a crag of the rock from whence I lived. And she made no cause of me being there and never laying down because I couldn't breathe. And she had her children, and her children got used to me, and they flew off, and then they all came back. And every season, my family were those birds. And for 7 years, I had as a God to understand human hate and revenge and cutting open everyone and trying to find a God in them. Where was that which I was that was in everyone? I never knew. And after 7 years, I came off the walk. I never breathed well after that. And I came down and I led the march onward all the way into India, the northern part of the northeast side of the Indus River. The days that I knew 35,000 years ago were without tedium and boring. They were dynamic days. The earth was changing. Whole colonies of people left the planet and others arrived. And the poor people who were here 455,000 years ago were doomed to endure a planet in its changes and would be locked in incarnation for all time to it because it struck fear in their hearts. And we always come back to what we fear, that we own it. And the planet made us come back. Sitting on that rock, can never lay down. And I watched the moons wax and wane. I watched wildfowl come in. I knew the seasons by the color of the foliage. And I watched my encampment. And there was a slender place that I loved above all. It's where the gold of day meets the blue of night. It's this thin line. And that is where I wanted to go. I had taught my warriors to be analogical. I taught them how to make war. I taught them that they were not a warrior. They were the tip of the sword. They were the horse they rode. They were analogical and they created the battle before they ever went into it. That's my legend. I am the legend of the Hindu people. I am Ramtha, the enlightened one. We're all of the strength of Brahman comes from is in this history. And so I came down from the mountain and I took my army and I marched them into this alien forest, into the heart of the forest, geared for war. And there was this tree and we stopped when we found it. And I asked 100 of my centurion to hold hands around this tree. And when they did, I said, what does this tree know that you do not know? They didn't know. That was unacceptable. The tree did not know how to die, I said to them. And they, in an uproar and fury, as egotistical warriors do, said, oh, in a moment we could hew this down and burn it. That would be the end of that. And I would say, and yes, life ends in you, but not in that tree. It will live on when you have died and returned a million times. This tree does not know how to die. I want you to know what it knows. And from that point, the march of the ram became enlightened. And we entered into India via the Silk Road up north. That's why all those people they're digging up today are tall, red-headed, and wear plaid. They were part of an ancient march. They were the giants that could never have fit into China Where did they come from? They came from the smog. And we dropped in on the northeast side of India to the Indus River. And there, I ended my days on this plane. And I didn't end them in dying. I changed my frequency and left in light. It's called ascension. It's quite natural. You learn to love yourself, you'll never destroy your body. You will learn to love it, for you and the body are one and the same. And I took it with me. And from those dynamic days, 35,000 years ago, grew a legend. And this is what led up to, 35,000 years ago, my descent from the blue realm. The blue realm is beyond human explanation. I can tell you, it's so beautiful. We have no adjectives in any tongue to explain it. And that when we leave it, we are like the quintessential student searching for his master. We arrive at the tenet of our life there at a waterfall. And the waterfall is a curtain of ultraviolet blue that dances in front of us with lights which we have no explanation of the color that dazzles us. And we stand on its precipice like death. We know that we're about to leave a beloved and enchanted realm of the glorious blue body. And where we are at once androgynous, and that creation is spawned from this rather than the copulation of this with this that leads to this. We already were looking at God. We are created marvelous vineyard of all life. And when we had done our work, boredom is a sign of the soul we have accomplished. But boredom to a personality is that we are bored with what we hear, for we have not the facility to make it so. It's different with the indoctrination of human beings. But its ancient symbol was that it led us to this curtain that was this waterfall, and that we knew that once we walked into it, we would not return again for a long reckoning. And so, I walked to the waterfall, and I had done wonderful work in the realm that is blue, and I walked through and went through the Big Bang as myself, split apart to positive and negative, and finding my balance in the positive charge of a man. And I was born 35,000 years ago in Lemuria. And my father was an Atlantean, my mother a 12-foot-tall diplomat, and gave birth to me. And the lodgings that I remember, it's an extraordinary building in which the only art were the stars, the map of the stars, and from which my ancestry genetically had come forth. And although I was brand new, I was born in a genetic that was ancient. So the genes immediately offered up to me celebration of knowledge quickly embraced and pre-programmed in my brain and my body, just as it has done to you.